Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. Mike Johnson, Allie Mack, Dylan, hanging out with you today, man. I'm not even going to waste any time because we have so much to talk about today. Like when you were running down the headlines earlier, I was like, "Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a big one." Oh my God, I got to watch all the baseball highlights and the Big Ten deals and everything else going on, man. But I hope y'all are having an extremely good morning because I am.
Yes, absolutely having a wonderful morning. I will say, if we're waiting on Braves news ever, just wait for like me, Grant, to have a birthday or an anniversary, something. Because then they will announce it. Even on the day we got engaged,
you were even bragging on this yesterday.
I know.
You were bragging. You were like, yo, this is the first time I've ever gotten to celebrate my husband's birthday without the Braves being involved.
And sure enough,
the Braves
said,
there for 2 hours.
He said, hey, Grant, get to tourists. We got to talk to you.
Yeah, what time did the press release drop? Like 10:20? We've been off air like an hour and some change.
Yes.
I was like, dude.
Yeah.
Yep, go ahead and reverse course on that one. That stinks.
Well on his way to go down there to get to that presser that happened. So, yeah, we got to talk about all the headlines, everything that's happening. We do have Thursday night football. 49ers have ruled out Brock Purdy, wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, and wide receiver Juwan Jennings for their game against the Rams tonight. New Orleans will host the 2028 College Football Playoff National Championship game. Lane Kiffin says dynasties are over in the SEC with 9 league games, and playoff baseball, yes, is in full swing. A few wildcard series are going to game 3 today. Guardians and Tigers, Boston, the Yankees, Cubs and Padres. The Dodgers will advance to the NLDS against Philadelphia after beating the Reds 8-4 yesterday.
There's so much meat on the bone with this headline conversation.
Yes.
Right? I mean, the playoff baseball was insane yesterday. The Lane Kiffin thing, I don't know that I've ever, and I find myself to be a friend of the Georgia program, but with Alabama fans and Georgia fans almost united in this one socially yesterday. They're like, what is this guy talking about? We both feel like we're in the midst of dynasties. And this guy from Ole Miss, from Oxford, what is this guy talking about yesterday? So that was a lot of fun. But you mentioned all the drama. The playoff baseball that was going on yesterday. Yankee Stadium was absolutely on fire.
Yes.
Wrigley Field wanted to be on fire, but they had one hit against the Padres yesterday, which is unfortunate. And then Dodger Stadium was on fire because they advanced. They were the only one that did advance yesterday in their matchup. So much fun stuff going on. So much energy out there in the baseball world. Playoff baseball, we talked about it yesterday. It's just on a different level. When every time you see a reliever throw a pitch that he does the double fist pump and
Yeah.
You know, gets an out. It's just, it's so intense. So I loved every part of it yesterday.
And my B team is the Guardians. And we were on our show call yesterday when that big inning happened with the Guardians. And like Grant was waving me down through our glass door because I was on the patio. And he's like, hey, it's going. It's happening.
Allie, we're enemies right now.
I know we are. I know. You're going down today.
Friendness.
I don't know about that. Look at you guys. I don't know about that. Go Tigers.
Yeah. Wow. Man, that was actually pretty good. Sounded like a Ed Orgeron cut. Go Tigers.
Well, let's talk about the major news from yesterday. Brian Snitker did reveal that he will not return as Braves manager in 2026. I was wrong. I was hoping for one more year, but major congrats to him. I mean, he won the World Series in 21, or the Braves did under Snitker. Spent almost half a century with this organization and will be inducted into the team's Hall of Fame next year.
Yeah, I brought up a point last year, Allie, where I was talking on the air, and you'll love this because this is a Grant thing. But I was just talking on the air, and I was like, you know, I think that Snitker's first ballot Braves Hall of Fame. I don't know. Like, it seems like when you win a World Series as a manager, you definitely are. But at that point, I think he was coming off of year seven, and I was kind of trying to weigh the timeline. But I think when you do what he did, and when you go get a ring, and you're, you know, all this stuff, and Grant, I think we had an interview with Grant like an hour later, and he's like, "Let's just go ahead and put this to bed." Brian Snicker is absolutely a Braves Hall of Famer. And I was like, I feel a little targeted. Not going to lie. I feel like I'm a little bit targeted, but thank you for listening to the show an hour ago, Grant McCauley. No, it really is just a cool scene yesterday with him kind of stepping to the podium and everything else that was going on with the press release and just a lot of cool notes built in there about him being manager of the year in 2018, two-time minor league manager of the year. You look at the record over the years of everything he's been able to do, and it's just – this is how I feel about Brian Snicker. The whole story of him spending his entire life in the minor leagues and then eventually getting the shot to be a big league manager within that organization and winning a World Series, it's storybook for so many different – his relationship with Bobby Cox,
right.
His relationship with the players. He's just one of those people that – and I'll be the first one to step up because I know you don't feel this way – but he can be maddeningly frustrating to watch during a game.
Right.
Right, for me. But at the same time, you just know that you are going to appreciate him so much once that part of his tenure is over. I mean, we see this all the time in, like, college football or the NFL. Mike Smith's a great example where it's like you get to the end of Mike Smith's tenure and there's a 30-point loss, and you're like, oh, Mike Smith probably has to go.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know that you just absolutely love what he was able to do when he was there. And I feel that way about Brian Snicker. Just a really, really cool kind of ending to his tenure as Braves manager. I know that we'll talk throughout the show about, like, what happens next, and you know, we'll talk to Grant about it. But it's just it's a cool day to kind of reflect and take a breath on what he's meant to that team, this city, you know, for the last, 9 years now.
Well, and I think, you know, you always have to take that step into something that's a little bit unknown, right? And so Brian Snicker had the opportunity to step into roles within the Braves organization. And when it's a dream job, you're like, I don't know how long this is going to last.
Yes.
Like, you know, with radio, you're like, I don't know how long this is going to last, but I'm going to love it while I'm here. And Brian talked about this yesterday, about how long he didn't understand how long this would go on for him.
3 years ago, I signed the extension. This was to be my last year, and I was kind of excited about it because I thought, well, you know, it's going to put a reality to it. I was really good with it. I was very appreciative. Honestly, I never thought I'd manage one day in the major leagues, let alone 10 years. I never thought I'd hoist a trophy or be around a group of guys that makes this so special.
Yeah, man.
It's just, I mean, and he got emotional during his presser yesterday.
As you should.
It's
49 years.
Been an unbelievable career. And I know he can be frustrating when he's so even keeled.
I know.
In the dugout. But I love someone that can just hold.
Why aren't you mad?
Yeah. He just stays even keeled.
Yeah, there's a lot of value to that, too. And I will say, you know, we talk about 49 years with the organization. He's still going to be in an advisory role with the organization, which I think is kind of important. He also talked yesterday about how he missed a lot of things for his kids, but he didn't want to do that with his grandkids.
Right.
I think that pulls at the heartstrings of a lot of people that obviously love him. I mean, he's like, this is going to sound ridiculous. He's like Atlanta's grandpa.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like Atlanta's grandpa. That's the way I look at him. I look at him and I'm like, yeah, you're kind of the city's grandfather. You know what I mean? Like, we all want you to hang out with us in retirement, Brian Snicker. I'm glad you're going to be in advisory role. You know, maybe you can come to my little league game. I don't know. You know, maybe you can be a part of my little league game. Maybe you can go see Dylan at the LA Fitness or the Lifetime, see him hoop and, you know, shooting Jays. So it was just really, really cool yesterday and a little bit unexpected, but really, really cool.
A little bit unexpected because I really thought, you know, let's just get one more year in it. But when you look at the tenure of his career, like, he didn't have to prove anything else. You know?
No, and that, yeah.
He just had nothing left to prove.
Great
like,
point.
What an incredible, incredible career. And then, of course, now we will be talking about it throughout the show, but you got the wild names coming out. And
you're like, wait. I had five names on my phone within 30 minutes of that press release.
Yeah.
Five different names.
Yeah.
And they all four of the five made sense.
Yeah.
Four of the five made sense. And that's what's really, really cool about this opportunity. I put out a video yesterday on the 929 pages, kind of instant reaction. And I was like, you know, this is a dream job.
Yeah.
If you're a manager, why would you not want this job? I mean, you are stepping in to the opportunity to manage a World Series team.
And we'll have Grant McCauley on later, by the way.
Ding.
And I know this will be a question for him for sure, but I do want to get your guys' take on this. How long do you think it'll take as far as the Braves process? I'm sure they're doing extensive, thorough search for a new manager. Do you think they wait until the playoffs are over just in case there's any chance a playoff manager gets let go because of how a series goes or how a season maybe abruptly ends? How long do you think this process is going to take?
There's one name that I heard that is currently in the playoffs. I don't think they would actually go for this person.
Okay.
But I think it's kind of a conversation. I will tell you, they'll make the decision on November 17th because that's our anniversary.
All right.
So that is when.
Stamp it.
That is such a good point.
November 17th around. What time do you guys usually eat dinner? Yeah. Right around the time Allie and Grant are getting ready to eat dinner, it'll happen then.
Breaking news.
Yeah. No, we were actually driving to dinner last night and, of course, just checking out what everyone's saying. And, like, the names we were hearing, we're like, no. No, no, not that one. No, not that one. It's just very interesting to see where everyone's coming from.
Yeah. You know, I don't – I'm trying to roll my name my names through my head of the playoff managers right now. I can't think – like all the ones I heard were managers from other teams, former managers, or college managers, which I think, you know, the Tony Vitello thing kind of came out yesterday. I think Dave O'Brien was the one putting that out, which
okay.
is very interesting. Very interesting to think about that because he is widely respected as a baseball mind. I don't know that I'd go the route of hiring a college coach if I'm the Braves. It's so different. Like Tony Vitello's teams at Tennessee play with such an edge, but they all are like, you know, really close-knit group. I think that keeping guys together in a Major League Baseball locker room with so many different backgrounds and nationalities and whatever, I think it's a whole other animal in that aspect.
Well, let's go ahead, and I'll put out a tweet on the @929 Morning Shift account. Go ahead and put your guesses in or thoughts, predictions of who you think should step into this role as Brian Snitker is going to retire. Coming up, it is bye week for the Falcons. We are taking a look at the season so far, what they've accomplished, and how they shape up when it comes to handing out grades. We'll cover that next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:22 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Dylan's hanging out behind the glass. Bo's got the day off. And we're about to grade the Falcons linebackers for the season so far. We do have a bye week, so it's a good time to look back. But I wanted to bring this up because I saw this Sports Illustrated story. There was a magazine from 1992 that just sold for a ridiculous amount. Have either one of you heard this story?
I haven't.
Have you caught wind of this?
Sports Illustrated. No, I have not.
Okay.
I have not either.
As you know, I have been trying to stop the doom scrolling.
Yes.
So, yes, I have not seen this.
Okay. So, this Sports Illustrated was of Michael Jordan celebrating the Chicago Bulls' second NBA championship in 1992. Now, it normally, if it's graded like 4.5, pretty good, sells for about $100. This one last week, though, sold for $60,000. Any guesses why?
Is there a picture of him holding this exact magazine? That would be my guess.
Huh.
Like if there was a backstory of like he did a, you know, press thing and he was like holding the magazine, like look how cool this is, and that was the exact one. That's the only guess I can have.
That's a really good guess, but that's not it.
I mean, it can't be that much for like a signature.
Yeah, that's it's gotta have a story. Like people that buy these things want the story.
Right. So there's a subscription. This was someone's personal copy.
Oh, like it has the thing, like a mailing label on it.
Oh.
It was Kobe Bryant's copy.
No!
13-year-old Kobe Bryant's copy. How incredible is that?
First of all, it's incredible that Kobe Bryant had a subscription with his name on it.
Yeah, I know. It didn't go to his parents.
Right. Like, you know, not even like SI for kids back then, you know? Like, that's crazy. That is insane.
I know.
Yeah, I can see 60 grand for that.
Unbelievable.
Kobe stuff is just, man, you can't find enough Kobe stuff out there. It's just crazy. That's awesome, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for that guy.
Yeah,
whoever
I would
bought that.
Man, 60 grand, I pay a milli for that thing. Hey, I pay a milli for that thing.
I can pull out a HELOC on the house. You know what I mean? A little high equity.
But what do you even do at that point? Like, I understand you're going to put it in, like, a case and frame it, but I would be so scared. Like,
dude, you're putting it in something, like, airtight.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Where do you is it going to be, like, in your foyer? Like, right.
Well, the guy that just has 60,000 to burn on this kind of thing probably has, like, a room.
Yeah, he's got a man cave he's throwing that thing in.
For sure. Like a she shed.
Yeah.
Little museum.
There you go.
All right, so for the season so far, Falcons are 2-2. So we're kind of looking back as they have a bye week. Some games have been great. Some games have not been so great. So we're kind of handing out grades with each position. So let's take a look at the linebackers as a whole. Through the first four games, Mike, how would you grade them?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation, and we talked at length on Monday and Tuesday, Allie, about how multiple our defense is, right? And in the structure that Jeff Ulbrich has kind of brought to this defense, how he has, you know, implemented a lot of kind of 5-1 in terms of the front seven when you go to the nickel and you roll down safeties and you do things like that. So it's kind of a loaded conversation because as I've thought back on it, I was like, how did this group play? You're only talking about two people. Really, if you take out the edge defenders or outside linebackers or whatever you want to call those guys, you're really only talking about Caden Ellis and Divine Diablo. Eventually, Jalen Walker will be part of this conversation the more and more he moves off the ball and drops into coverage. But right now, he only plays on the line of scrimmage, even though sometimes it is in a two-point stance, as you saw last weekend with some of the, you know, kind of zone read stuff. Caden Ellis has also played a lot on the edge and walked up on the line of scrimmage, but he's played a ton off as well. But then the conversation comes down to Divine Diablo. And when I started really breaking into this Divine Diablo conversation, the Falcons defense, what they've been as a whole, he's been great. But I don't even think until I really started focusing on it that I've realized how good this guy has actually been.
Mm-hmm.
And I started kind of diving into it a little bit. I know there's been a lot of discussion on the socials about PFF the last couple of days and what the grades actually mean and things like that. Like Steve Spagnuolo kind of sounded off, and then J.J. Watt followed it up. It is what it is. There are tools to be had. But I was looking at PFF today, and Divine Diablo, and we're giving out our first quarter grades, he's second team All-Pro on PFF right now for the first quarter of the season. And it kind of brings to mind everything he's meant for this defense. I think we all knew he was athletic. I think we all knew that, you know, he was rangy, and we've talked till we're blue in the face about a former safety. Guys, but this is somebody who multiple times in his 4 years at Las Vegas, like, lost a starting role. And they were able to sign him for really a bare minimum for what he kind of brings to the table. He has been incredible. So it's almost like I feel like I'm grading 1.5 players when I talk about the linebackers. Like, I'm grading Divine Diablo and like half Caden Ellis, which, as we know, Caden Ellis's numbers also insane.
Yeah.
And it's weird because you go back to yesterday and I'm like, hey, what am I, A minus, mm-hmm. you know, B plus, A. To me, the linebackers are squarely in the A conversation. I don't know that we could have asked any more. And again, the whole thing kind of breaks down to, is this what they are amongst other players in the NFL? Or is this what they are with the backdrop of the expectations for them? And I think my expectations for Divine Diablo were so mediocre. Like, can he be rangy? Can he force, you know, opposing offenses, quarterbacks to do things differently? Or is he going to be great amongst the NFL? It's been both. He's been incredible in any realm that we want to talk about. And I think he has been such a good component and such a needed component of what Jeff Ulbrich does defensively.
And something you said there that really stuck with me. I feel like we're so thrilled about Divine Diablo because you said it. He was just such an unknown coming into this season. Like, we figured,
he might be good. Troy Anderson.
Yeah, exactly.
We were like, oh, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Right. Like, we was like, okay, there'll be some competition there. We'll see if he, you know, beats him out. And, you know, we'll see what the time he makes of when Troy Anderson is out to start the year. But he's been great. And at this point, Divine Diablo isn't like he's going anywhere.
No.
And
like, extension time.
I was literally thinking that exact same thing. So – With all that being said, Caden Ellis has still been great too, and I think the versatility of these two guys, like you said, has just been so important to this Falcons defense and what they're able to do. You talked about that 5-1 set that we were talking about last Sunday when the Falcons were taking on the Commanders. I mean, just their both of their ability, we talk about Ellis and Diablo, to get into the backfield, but also can cover a tight end if they need to. You know, try their hand at covering a running back because they both got speed and get in the backfield, tackles for loss, getting sacks, all that good stuff. So just all the things they're able to do, it just – I can't help but give him A. I really want to give him A+, but I don't want to go that far. But it's definitely an A for me, and I think it also speaks to we figured that whoever these linebackers were going to be, they probably were going to get elevated at least a little bit by Jeff Olbrich, because we saw it first here in Atlanta when he was in here in Atlanta the first time, what he was able to do when he had Deion Jones, when he had Devondre Campbell, when he had Foye Oluokun, and all those guys went on to have really good careers, and Foye's still out here performing at a high level with the Jags. So, I mean, when you mix all those components together with Jeff, his background and be able to enhance linebackers, and then Caden Ellis and Devon Diablo also being really, really good players, I got to give this linebacker room an A.
You know what's also kind of insane, and I know that you've heard this name kind of brought up, so I'm going to bring this up as well, and I just it brings me to wonder how bad Jimmy Lake's scheme was. But Nate Landman has had an exceptional year.
He's already been Defensive Player of the Week once.
Yes. And that's a guy that we were just like, all right, man, we'll see you later. Hope you land on your feet.
Right.
You know? And this guy's probably, and I haven't looked at his PFF grade, guarantee you he's top 20.
Oh, for sure.
A guy that we were just fine letting hit the streets. Mm-hmm. That we were like, hey, man, we'll replace this guy. We're upgrading, more athleticism.
The landmine was fun while it lasted.
The landmine was cool.
But we ain't about to pay you all that money.
Great. Hey, man, hope you have a great career out there. And sure enough, man, he keeps popping up on the highlight reels, and it just makes you wonder. You're like, man, you really found a home with this Rams scheme. You're doing a lot of great things. And yet with Jeff Olbrich and everything that he wanted to do, Devon Diablo has found a home here. And really their stories are very similar.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you know, the Raiders were willing to let Devon Diablo just walk out the door and be like, all right, we'll see you later. It's kind of eye-opening to look at where both of these guys have kind of landed. And the fact that, like you just said a minute ago, we weren't even sure what this guy was going to mean for this defense. It was like, Troy Anderson's there. Maybe Devon Diablo can make some noise. He's got a really cool name.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him play against the Raiders. We played against the Raiders last year on Monday Night Football. All good. Dude, I don't know where we'd be without the guy.
And I want to touch on that just real quick because, I mean, at this point, and we just briefly mentioned Troy Anderson, at this point, Troy Anderson's time in Atlanta seems like he's on borrowed time. If Devon Diablo keeps playing this way, I don't know why you just don't stick with him, and I don't see them wanting to bring Troy Anderson back long term.
It will be interesting to see, because J.D. Bertrand is, you know, back there. We kept Josh Woods on the roster. Josh Woods has been exceptional on special teams. You know, J.D. Bertrand and Troy Anderson both kind of have injury hiccups, and you'd love to both, like, it's one of those things where they're both going to be healthy at the same time probably, and you're going to have to make a decision, but you wish you could just keep both of them around because you feel like you kind of get this Clark Kent Superman kind of thing, you know, where like one you don't ever see both of them at the same time. So that's going to be an interesting decision for Terry Fontenot and company to have to make. But it's been a good group, man. It really has. It's been – and I thought the same thing yesterday about the D-line and the secondary. It's crazy how much schematically they've been able to get these guys to play at a comfortability level. You know, it's not like all of a sudden they all just got better. It's just that, and Jesse Bates touched on this, a lot more comfortable in what they're being asked to do. There's not all these checks and everything. They just have game plans going into the week. And Jesse Bates, interestingly enough, was like, you know, this guy's been there. Jeff Olbrich's been there before. Really excited about kind of what he brings to the table. So it's just been a lot of fun to watch.
So I know you guys were talking about how Caden Ellis is kind of a standout for the season so far. Is he having one of those like exceptional seasons versus last year? Because I feel like I'm just seeing him all over the place.
You know, he was so exceptional last year that it's hard to say. Like, he was definitely our best defender last year.
Right.
And we actually did a whole show on it, Allie, where we were like, it's a crime that he's not a Pro Bowler. You know, it's ridiculous. All the like snub list for the Pro Bowl came out, and Caden Ellis was on a lot of them. But maybe, to your point, maybe this is the year where you look at him or Devon Diablo. Maybe Devon's, you know, taking some of the spotlight away from Caden. Caden is just so multiple, right? When we signed him from New Orleans and Ryan Nielsen's defense, it was like, oh, guy's got 8 sacks, but he plays middle linebacker, but he's got 8 sacks, but he can do a little bit of everything.
And to your point earlier, the fact that we knew what Caden Ellis was, and we had already put in a – we had already stamped Caden Ellis as this guy's going to be a factor on our defense. with Devon Diablo again, we just weren't sure what exactly he was going to be, how big of a role he was going to play. And now that we see how much Devon Diablo is standing out, like you said, Mike, he's taking a little bit of the shine away from Caden Ellis, but Caden Ellis is still having a great season. He's still that dude.
He's still that dude. It is funny, the trickle-down effect. Devon Diablo being what he is has allowed Caden Ellis to move up to the line of scrimmage and be what he is, which has allowed, you know, Jalen Walker to not be thrust right into the spotlight, you know, a lot sooner. And it's just, it all kind of works in, you know, in unison.
A positive domino effect.
There you go, man. And it's good to say that about a Falcons defense.
A lot of A's going out. Well, we've got more grades coming up around 7, but next we're going to dip into college football. It's week 6. We're going to take a look also at what's going on in the Big Ten. Lane Kiffin is making some waves. And we've got my Mac drop. It's Thursday. We've got trivia. NFL logo edition. That's next on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, we are the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass, and Bo's got a well-deserved day off. Now,
is it? No, I'm just kidding.
Any one of us that takes a day off, it's well-deserved alarm is 3:30 in the morning.
That's no doubt about that.
The Big Ten is in discussions about a private capital deal that would infuse at least $2 billion into the league and its schools. It would include a 10-year extension of the league's grant of rights until 2046.
This is so – I file this under, like, I get it, but I hate it. Okay. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So what's happening here is they're essentially dividing the Big Ten. It would be kind of a Big Ten Enterprises or whatever you call it. They're dividing into like 20 parts. There's 18 teams, and then there's the league, the Big Ten offices, and then this, you know, capital firm that kind of wants to buy in and put $2 billion in the pocket of the Big Ten. I don't know exactly what they do, though. That's what's crazy about it. They're like, oh, well, they'll be in charge of league development, TV contracts, you know, bringing more revenue into the league. Okay, like, then just hire, like, a PR firm. Like, if that's what we're really doing here. It sounds to me, and this is the where I get it part, it sounds to me like the Big Ten is just utilizing this as an opportunity for an infusion of money. It's like, dude, we have to pay all these coaches' salaries. Now we have to pay all these players. Now we have to do all these different things, and we're being pulled in all these different directions financially. I get it. I just hope that this is not the tip of the iceberg. Dylan will remember this. About 2.5 years ago, you remember me having this conversation? Like, when we first got on air of this show, I was, and this is all the NIL stuff is happening, and LIV Golf was happening. And I was like, it's only a matter of time before some college program or league is bought up by, like, some of this LIV Golf Saudi money.
Yeah.
And they're just like, you know what? Let's give $100 million to Vanderbilt, and we'll just bring in an all-star team.
And that was my next question to you was going to be, because I do remember you us having that conversation, and that's what I was about to ask you. It was like, is the Big Ten just first on this, and everybody else is going to follow, and it's only a matter of time?
I just can't see the SEC doing this. I just can't. Like, they don't have a problem with, like, PR,
but
really.
Until everyone else does it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is it's money. Yeah. It's money that is just snap your fingers and you get money out of thin air.
And that's why I was going to say, if it's not necessarily about PR and it's truly just about money, then I don't see why the SEC wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know that university presidents, chancellors, whatever it is, are so hesitant to give anybody else a piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
But you start looking at, okay, if there's 20 parts to this and it's $2 billion, you can tell me each part gets $100 million infusion just straight up into their pocket, which – that's a good chunk of change when you're paying buyouts and everything else there is out there.
And if Kirby Smart, you know, Kale and DeBoer want to keep their dynasties. You know, they might want to make that move.
I see what you did there.
You're making this very easy for me today, yeah. Dylan, because Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin said dynasties are over in the SEC after the league added Oklahoma, Texas, and recently announced it will play a ninth conference game. He said NIL and the transfer portal have leveled the playing field.
Well, I would go out even further and say the fact that that ninth conference game is happening has, and you just mentioned it, that's another thing that it's like, I don't know that you can do it anymore. And really, I was having this conversation with a buddy of mine yesterday, and we were talking about the difference between the Arkansas and the Ole Miss job. And I was like, Arkansas is just one of those jobs. I'm not sure you can sustain winning there. Mm-hmm. And his counter was like, why is it different than Ole Miss then? Because Ole Miss hasn't had sustained, but all of a sudden you get the right head coach, the right system, the right timing, and you can go out and make things happen. And Arkansas has more money than Ole Miss does, from my understanding. So I didn't have a rebuttal to that. I was like, it's pretty good. But I think you go back and you look at scheduling. Ole Miss does a great job of saying, dude, we're going to schedule three dubs. Mm-hmm. Arkansas plays Notre Dame this past weekend. Gets the crap beat out of them.
Right.
They've always done that over the history of Arkansas team. They scheduled Memphis out of conference. Lost at the last second on a fumble when they're trying to run out the clock and kick a field goal. It just there's differences between those two programs that I can't quite quantify. Back to the original, though, with Lane Kiffin. Is he right? Like, is he right? Like, I don't think Bama's in the midst of a dynasty. I don't think you miss the playoffs and you're still in the midst of a dynasty. You don't change coaches like that and do that in the midst of a dynasty. Georgia is the dynasty right now, but even they have struggled
right.
at times in the last couple of years. So, and that's an SEC champion that I'm talking about, but there has been a playing field that has been leveled in so many aspects.
I think he's right to where, okay, let me rephrase it. I don't think he's right saying that they're over, but I do think that he's right in his premise as they're going to be harder to come by. Yeah. I don't think they're inevitable. I don't think they're completely over to where they just can't happen, like it's impossible for them to happen. I still think they can happen,
yeah.
But I think it's just going to be a lot harder for them to happen. And we're going to see, just like in the NFL where there's tons of parity and a team that was in the playoffs, you know, 1 year can be, you know, a bottom feeder the next year. I don't think it'll be that drastic in college football, but there's going to be more of that now in college football.
I think what you're saying is we have to redefine what a dynasty is in today's yeah. college football, right?
Yeah.
Is a dynasty is not, you know, Bama winning 3 out of 4.
Right.
That was a dynasty. Now it might be
making the playoffs 4 out of 5 years with
exactly.
with a national title maybe sprinkled in there.
Yes, that's a good point.
But I also think he's right 10 years from now. Like, NIL is still so new. The loyalty level, the legacy level is still kind of a mixed bag
right.
with people.
Yeah.
Transfer portal is still kind of new. We going to use it as much as we want to or not? So I think 10 years from now, all that will kind of be by the wayside as we get used to it and evolve.
There's just so much change every year
yeah.
that it's just so hard to be consistent. We talked about Georgia having like 40% new players, and it's just like that everywhere. It's like that everywhere. The guys that can keep their players involved will be the quote-unquote dynasty that we're talking about.
And New Orleans will host the 2028 College Football Playoff National Championship at Caesars Superdome.
Are we just – like, is the Superdome – it's just inevitable. It's just inevitable. It really is.
I mean, I hate to say this about the Caesars Superdome because, you know, have I ever been there? I've never personally been there.
Wow.
In there. I've been to New Orleans, but I've never been in the Superdome. And I obviously have heard that it's a dump and, you know, it's old.
It's not great.
But it just seems like it has so much aura. And like,
it's
just
iconic.
It's iconic. It has aura just because so many other things have happened in there. And I think it is inevitable, just like Thanos.
I really am curious to see if the Nashville stadium that's being built will have any effect on that because it's very similar, right? That setup is very similar where you have Bourbon Street and you have Broadway, right? You have these big kind of stadiums that are kind of walking distance, kind of not, you know, kind of out there. I'll be curious to see if Nashville has any effect on that. The Superdome is so inevitable, dude. They've hosted every big event for all of time, and it continues to be kind of a dump. Maybe they'll rebuild it at some point, but it's just New Orleans as a whole is such a good place to host events like this. It just is.
Quick reminder, join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons flyover. This is your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game. It's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. Again, it's the Falcons flyover immediately following every Falcons post game. This season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here we go,
I'm
fellas.
Scared. Help me.
It is time for Throwback Thursday trivia. Today is NFL logo edition. Now, Dylan has played this once before.
Okay.
When it was All-Star Week and we did the broadcast from Murph's. Dylan realized there's a learning curve to Throwback Thursday trivia.
Oh, wow.
There is. I got absolutely smoked by Bo.
You did.
What was the topic? Do you remember?
It was probably baseball trivia.
Yeah, it was like all baseball, All-Star game trivia.
Yeah.
That's not going to be like Dylan's
wheelhouse. Oh, it was, hey, now you're an All-Star.
That's right.
What it was.
That's exactly what it was. So, yeah, it wasn't exactly my wheelhouse either, and that's completely Bo's wheelhouse. So
100%.
It was just a perfect storm of me getting cooked.
All right, well, your name is your buzzer, and we all have to keep each other honest on this one because okay. We have no referees today.
Yeah, you got a lot on your shoulders over there.
All right, question number one. Which NFL team's logo is a simple blue star?
Mike. Dallas.
That is correct. The Miami Dolphins logo shows a dolphin jumping in front of what?
Dylan. A hoop.
No. We're not going to accept that one.
Aw, oh, dang it.
Jumping
in front of, or is it jumping through? Because I think he's.
Well,
is there okay?
Yeah,
he's in front of a star.
No,
I can see it in my mind. I just don't know what it is.
It's the sunburst.
Okay, there you go.
That's
a sunburst. I was going to say I can see it. I just don't know what it is.
All right, which team's logo is a Florida Lee?
Mike. New Orleans.
That is correct. All right, it's currently 2-0. Mike is in the lead. Which team's logo has 3 diamonds on it?
Dylan. Steelers.
That is correct.
Good one.
2-1. In 2023, what NFL team changed their logo to an animal instead of a C?
Mike. Chicago?
That's correct.
Okay.
The Bears.
I don't remember. Still got a C on their helmet, though.
Yeah, I think it's still got the C on their helmet.
But if you go to NFL.com,
right. It's all about that. Yeah.
Logos.
Right. That's why I had to think of it. I was like, wait.
Yeah, that's okay. But it
had to be Chicago.
Yeah, like, it was only one.
Helmets will be mixed in here.
Okay.
Keep that in mind.
All right. Cool.
Which team's logo is a red bird with a yellow beak?
Mike. Cardinals.
That is correct. It is now 4-1. Mike is in the lead. What NFL logo is the only human face looking directly straight ahead?
Dylan.
I think
the Patriots old school logo?
No. Current.
Current logo where it's my. I was going to say Patriots too. No. What am I missing here? I don't know.
Raiders.
Think about them.
That's cheating.
Which NFL logo is a simple horseshoe?
Dylan.
He got it.
Dylan.
Colts.
That's correct. It is 4-2. The Buffalo Bills logo shows a charging buffalo with what detail on it?
Dylan.
Mike.
Dylan.
Detail on the bill itself?
On the buffalo. What's on it?
On the bill. It has like its eye is like a little. Like a little square diamond thing.
It's got does it not have a red streak coming
out
of its horn?
That's what it is. It's a red streak across it. Yeah,
baby. He steals the point.
5-2. All right. This one is going to be for Dylan, clearly. The Philadelphia Eagles logo faces which direction?
Dylan. I'm actually probably going to get this wrong. Eagles logo faces on the helmet?
No. The helmet doesn't have a direction, right? It's just
So if you're looking at the logo, like the main logo.
I know. Yeah. To the left.
It is to the left.
Interesting.
Yeah. Once you started explaining, I was like, I got this.
I know it's debatable with the helmet.
I was
going to
say, the helmet just has wings going both ways. There's not a direction.
Yeah. I know. Once you started explaining, it all made sense. That's all I needed. All
right. Which NFL team is the only team to not have a logo on their helmet?
Dylan.
Dylan.
Yeah. This is easy.
Not have a logo on their helmet. Oh, the Cleveland Browns.
That is correct. It is 5-4. Which team's logo features a horse with an orange mane?
Dylan. Mike got it.
Broncos.
Okay, that is correct.
Let's go. 6-4.
All right, guys, we've got a lightning bonus round here.
Okay.
I'm going to ask a question. It has many answers. Go back and forth. You're getting points until someone can't answer.
Oh, God.
Okay, let's go.
All right. Which NFL team logos contain letters?
Dylan. Oh, we're just going back and forth.
Who can start, though? You go right ahead, sweetie.
The Bears.
That's one.
The Jets? Is that one? Okay, I was going to say.
Are we talking about just helmets here, like logos in particular? Or
it's the logos, their main logo.
Oh, their main logo. Okay.
Yes.
This is tough, dude.
This is tough.
Are you out on this? We can go to another bonus round.
Can I throw one out there that I don't know if you're thinking about?
Yeah.
The Atlanta Falcons.
That is okay. So that's the debatable
one. Yes, that is the debate.
That's very debatable.
People don't realize that's an F most of the time.
That is. You're right. That is an F.
Nobody realizes that's an F because it does flip around the other way on the other side of the helmet. It's a backwards F on the other side.
All right,
but it is an F.
7-5. Let's do just because this one's fun. Which NFL team logos have teeth?
Have teeth. I mean, it can't be one of the bird teams. There's like six of those.
You know your science.
I'm trying to think. I have no idea.
Really? Teeth.
The Jaguars?
That's one.
Oh, good call. Panthers.
That's one.
Is there a
Colts? Lions?
Lions.
Are they all cats? This sucks.
No. There's a human one.
There's a human one
with
teeth?
We're not human. I mean.
Is that one the Patriots?
No.
No. Not human. Sort of human?
Kind of human. Kind of human. It's a human part.
We got a lot of conversation to be had here. I don't know. I'm out.
I was about to say, I think I'm done.
Yeah, I didn't get any of those.
It was Panthers, Jags, Bears, Bucks. Because it's a skull.
Oh.
And lions.
There's your caveat. A skull. Sort of human. Yeah.
Sort of human.
Sort of human.
Just decomposed.
I just learned a lot in that segment. Good stuff.
All right. Congratulations, Mike. You won that one, but it doesn't count towards the season.
That's all right.
Coming up, Falcons have the weekend off. So we are sizing up the 2025 season so far. Mike and Dylan will grade the wide receivers next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.